Hey, before we get into the message this morning, I just wanted to take a minute and publicly thank Stephen Hoover last week. Were you here last week? Did you enjoy Stephen? Stephen is a fine young man. Yes, you can do that. We're very proud of Stephen, and we were glad that he could come and share with us when he was visiting with family here for the holiday. I did listen to part of his message. I haven't gotten all of it yet, but I listened to part of it, and what a great message on the gospel that he shared with us here last week. Arlene and I think she said there at the beginning, we were away. We had purchased a trip, just a three-day trip, to Legoland for Christmas, and we went to Florida for a few days to Legoland. It was just slightly warmer there than it is here this morning. It was cold down there. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe how cold it was in Florida. I jotted down two things that I learned last week while I was away, okay? Number one is don't offer to buy your grandson any Lego set in the store unless you mean it, okay? I don't know how he knew this, but of course he went and took the one off the shelf that cost $159 for Legos. And I guess that's what you get when you say any. And the second thing I learned was that if a three-year-old invites you to climb into the tube at the outdoor Chick-fil-A playground in Orlando, don't do it. Regardless of how much they want you to try, because if you look anything like me, anyway, you'll get stuck, okay? And it's embarrassing when a three-year-old has to help you out of the playground area. But we had a nice time, although it really was cold while we were down there. But it's awfully good to be back home. You know, the sad thing was I was actually sick before I left. I was thinking that I was feeling better, and boy, I've just got this whole sinus thing and a head full of congestion. So bear with me this morning if I seem to be struggling a little bit because of that. We're going back after our time at Christmas. We're going to go back and finish up our series that we've entitled Return to Life. This idea of telling the redemption story through creation. And if you remember, there were basically two different things that we were going to look at. Number one was how we were made, and number two was what we were called for. We've already looked at the part about being made, how God made us in His image, how God made us to work, how God made us to enjoy His creation, how God made us for community, to do life together. And then at the end of November, we talked about how we were made for God. Ultimately, our purpose was to bring glory to His holy name. And now we're going to shift, and we're going to talk about how we're called, and what we're called to, and what we're called for. Because part of the story is the story of creation, how God made us, why God made us, how God made us in His image, how He made us to live, what He made us to do, you know, why we're here. And now we're going to look at our calling. In other words, after we understand that this life and everything in it is this wonderful thing that God has given to us, that God has made us for, now, how are we called to live? And today we're gonna begin talking about that by looking at the story of Noah and of Noah's Ark. You know, did you ever hear the little book that was written some years ago? Of everything I need to know about life, I learned in kindergarten. Well, I actually found this week one of those of everything I need to know about life I learned from Noah's Ark. Okay, can I share these with you just for a minute and and give these to you? Everything I need to know about life I learned from Noah's Ark. Number one, Don't miss the boat. Right? I mean, the whole story of Noah is about how the select few got on the boat. And they always make a big deal how God didn't allow anybody else on the boat. But in the beginning, when God gave Noah the command to build the ark, he was the only one who was found to be faithful. Number two is, remember that we're all in the same boat. You know, that we all have the same struggles and the same difficulties in life. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Matter of fact, one of the things about the story of Noah is that the people were like, why are you building an ark? You know, we don't need an ark around here. Look, the sky is blue. Number four, I like this one. Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. And the corollary to that is that God is not in the retirement market. A lot of people don't realize how old Noah was when God called him to do this significant thing. Number five, don't listen to your critics. Just get the job done. Number six, build your future on high ground. Number seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number eight, I love this, speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board along with the cheetahs. Being faithful. Number nine, when you're stressed, always remember this, when you're stressed, just float for a while. Number 10, remember the ark was built by amateurs. The Titanic was built by professionals. And finally, number 11, no matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting at the end. Think about that. Everything you need to know about life, you can learn from Noah's ark. Now, I know that the story of Noah's ark, it captures our imagination. Frankly, we think of it just as a child's story, but yet it's a story for all of us. All the animals went into the ark. Two by two, they went into the ark. And though it didn't say that they it didn't say specifically, you know, how Noah and how God brought all of this to fruition and in the timing of it, we certainly know that it was because of Noah's faithfulness to what God had called him to do. That's the reason that God asked this particular fella to do it. Now, you know what? When you get to Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 10, that's the part of the scripture that encompasses this story of Noah and the ark. And you know, I can't read the entire all of that to you, but let me just hit some of the highlights of Genesis 6 through 10. And you can look there at your Bibles, and you can see this as you scan through these chapters of the Word. What does it say? It says that God made the decision that He was going to destroy everything that He created. He was going to destroy the earth and everyone on the earth. Why? Because the Bible says, and here's the phrase that it uses, it says because everybody was increasingly wicked. Sound familiar? Because everyone was increasingly wicked, God made the decision that He was going to destroy the earth and everything in it, all except this one man and his family, Noah. And it says that Noah's character, that Noah's life was exemplary. And because of that, because of his trust and of his faith in God, God was going to spare Noah and his family. So God told Noah to build an ark. And he gave them the specific dimensions of this ark, and Noah set about to do just that. Can you imagine what that must have been like for Noah? Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Well, what's an ark? An ark is a giant boat. Noah, have you looked around? I don't see any water anywhere. Well, God's going to flood the earth, and he's going to destroy the earth. Noah, it's not even raining. Look at the blue sky. And he had to be ridiculed, made fun of, and put down because of this. But Noah stood steadfast through all of this. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter about faith, it mentions this particular time and this particular person. And it says in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. You know, when you come to that Hebrews 11 passage and it talks about all these people of faith, one of the persons that is mentioned there is this person Noah. And what does this verse say about Noah and about his time? It says about Noah that unlike the others who lived in Noah's day, Noah lived by faith. He says here that by faith Noah. In other words, Noah was his faith was exemplary. He lived by faith and by faith alone. Now listen, folks, if you ask a majority of people if they live their lives by faith, if they were telling you the truth, most of them would probably say no, we live according to something else. Yet God calls us to live by faith. As a matter of fact, this same passage in Hebrews 11 says that without faith, that it's impossible to please God. So if you look back during Noah's time and you ask yourself, what pleased God? It was Noah's faith. What about you? And what about me? You know, the advertising industry spends billions of dollars every year trying to convince us to put our faith in particular products. You know about you, but sometimes I watch TV late at night or something, and I'll catch an infomercial, and I'm a sucker for those things. Are you? I'm like, you know what? I need a set of 62 new knives. You know, we just fall for things like, you know what? I need a 200-foot extension cord that plugs into a cigarette lighter. You know, they just prey on our desires and on our wishes. But think about it here, folks. Noah was all by himself when it came to his faith in God. Listen, folks, do you trust God that way? That's what faith is. Faith is trusting in God. You know, about you, I think most of us are alike. At one point in our life, we were prescribed a particular medication, you know, or we have to take a particular medication. And it's been a long, long time that I've taken a medication for my blood pressure, you know. And I remember a couple of years ago, my doctor, he wanted to change the medicine that I'd been taking for my blood pressure, but he gave me this new medication, and you know, he prescribed it, and I read the bottle, and I took it exactly like he said to take it. But he said to me, he said, "Now listen, John, there's one side effect of this. It doesn't really affect very many people, but I need to tell you this just in case it happens, that if you know, with this medication, if you're bending over and if you stand up real fast," he said, "one of the side effects is that you can feel really lightheaded. So if that happens, I don't want you to be, you know, that concerned about it." I said, "Okay." So I took the medication. I took it exactly like it was prescribed, the exact dosage that the doctor called for. You know what? That's faith. You know, the doctor prescribes this for me, and I have faith in his ability and in his understanding of my condition that he's going to give me something that will help me and make a difference in my life. I remember after I took this for just a month or so, I went out and played golf. And at the first hole, you know, I bent over and I put my golf ball in the ground. And when I stood up, it was like, whoa. And I didn't know what was happening. And we got to the hole, and, you know, after I putted 7 or 8 times, I finally got it in the hole, and I went over, and I got the ball out of the hole. And when I stood back up, it was like I almost fell down. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? Every time when I would tee the ball up on the tee, or when I would get the ball out of the hole, you know, you think about it, 18 holes, that's at least 36 times, and I'm like almost, and it took me several holes, and I finally realized I'm having that side effect. I'm having that side effect. And you know what, folks? When God tells us to be faithful, that's like the medication that he's prescribing. We knew he wants us to be faithful, but you know what? There's always side effects to faith. The ridicule of people, the judgment of society. Sometimes even our own family will question why we believe what we believe. But you know what, folks? You got to keep doing it. Matter of fact, I went back to the doctor and I said, Doc, man, I am having that side effect. I said, and he said, oh, is it bothering? I said, the only time it bothers me is when I'm playing golf and I bend over. And he said, well, you can either control your blood pressure or you can play golf. Make your choice. I'm like, well, let me think about that for a minute. No. Listen, folks, God told Noah to be faithful, and Noah was faithful. But let's face it. We don't always exercise our faith in times of our life when we need it most. Notice, when we get in a car and we push that brake pedal, we have faith that that brake pedal is going to stop that car. You know, if you've ever flown, you know, and that plane takes off, you have faith that that pilot is going to be able to land that plane at your destination. When the light turns green, you have faith that the traffic going the other way is going to stop on their red light so you can go. We have faith, but listen, our faith in God, we should understand that he's just calling us to do what he's asking us to do. Because listen, watch this. Faith always, real faith, always leads to something. You know, James says faith without works is what? It's a dead faith. Faith always, real faith always leads to something. You know what it leads to? It's the second thing here. It leads to obedience. In holy fear, Noah built an ark to save his family. Noah's faith wasn't an intellectual assent. He trusted God. He had faith in God. Therefore, he obeyed. He built the ark well before it started to rain. Can you imagine if Noah had started building the ark here in Altoona? People would say, my goodness, what are you doing? We're not even close to Raystown Lake, let alone an ocean that giant boat would need. Noah must have put up with a lot of ridicule. Come and look at Noah's folly, people probably said. He's building an ark of all places here. They're probably offering prizes for guessing what it was going to be used for when the rains never came and it never floated. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, 3 interior decks. Imagine the conversation between neighbors and Noah. The day the ark was finished. Hey, Noah, come and tell us what this ark is for. Noah says, well, I really can't yet. It's a secret. Well, give us a clue. Well, how long can you tread water? You see, no matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Noah and Noah's faith and Noah's obedience was proved right in the end. And it wasn't that's what made him righteous. It just simply says that he became the heir of righteousness. Because we, as New Testament believers, we know that there's none righteous. No, not even one. But here's the thing. Have you ever noticed the similarities between then and now? God looked at all that he had made and he decided to destroy the earth and everything in the earth. Why? Because of the increasing wickedness among the people. I mean, that was way back then. That's the way God described Noah's culture at Noah's time. But wouldn't that not be a very accurate description of the times that we live in today? How God saw that the world had become increasingly wicked, chapter 6, verse 5 through 6 of Genesis 6. How God decides to destroy everyone and all the earth, 6, verse 7. How God saw Noah was a righteous man and he had mercy on him. You see, and Noah's understanding of righteousness isn't as complete as our understanding of righteousness today. Noah was faithful. Noah was obedient. And God saved him and his family from that particular time. Let me read you a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worst." In other words, God plans to destroy mankind and the world again. Matter of fact, this will be a complete and a permanent destruction. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." In other words, God once again explains how we can escape this terrible destruction. 2 Peter 3, 13, "But keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation." And look at this in verse 20 of 1 Peter 3. "In the days of Noah, only those on the ark were promised protection. Today, the only people God promises to save are his children and those that have been added to his kingdom." But here's the one difference between Noah's day and our day. Well, really two. One was that God's promise, God's covenant, was that he would never destroy the earth again by what? By water. And we know that the second coming, that the next destruction that will come will be by fire. But the only difference is that in Noah's day, everybody was screaming and shouting and wanting on the ark, but nobody, once the door was closed, it was closed. The difference is that today, God invites us. Matter of fact, what does the parable say that Jesus told? It said to go out into the highways and the byways and invite anyone and everyone to come into my house, to come to my table. In other words, God does not want us to ignore all those that are lost, all those that are outside, but he wants us to inform them. Inform them of what? Inform them not just of faith and obedience, as in the day of Noah, but that now we can be righteous through the final work of Jesus Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one. Only Christ. But that you and I have that promise that we can have his righteousness to be a part of us. But you know, compare the instructions to Noah. Noah was told to build the ark and God would gather living creatures that he intended to rescue, Genesis 7. Today, we don't need to build an ark to protect us from God's wrath. Instead, we have the church, which Jesus Christ built. Matthew 16 proclaims that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Our job is to go into all the world like God did in the days of Noah and invite all living creatures, this time people, to enter into this spiritual place of safety. Now think about that and take note that the roles of God and Noah are reversed for us today. Back then, Noah did the building and the Lord gathered those who were to enter into safety. Today, Jesus did the building and we are to go and to gather. Luke 14, 23, then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come so that my house will be full. And God will once again be true to his promise and will carry out his plans. And as the ark was waterproof in Noah's day, the church is to be fireproof in our day. The Bible says the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And if what he has built survives, he will receive the reward. So here's the point. Folks, all of you here today, all of us here today, we are modern day Noahs. The situation is exactly the same. The world has become increasingly wickedness. But the ark has changed. Just as Noah had to enter through the great door into the ark for safety, we too must pass through this great door in order to reach safety. But today, Jesus is the door. And he asks us to come in. And folks, make every effort to enter. But to know also that God wants us to invite everyone to come and to be a part of this great journey to that wonderful place of safety and freedom and of eternity with Him. You know, in Noah's day, it indicates that everyone was completely surprised when the flood came. You know, the Bible teaches that today everyone will be caught off guard again. Much in the same way as they were in Noah's day. But the Bible says today that God is patient. He is patient in his desire for us to know of the safety that we have in Him. So, let's be modern day Noahs. Let's have faith, and may that faith lead to obedience, and may that obedience lead to an understanding of what it means to be righteous before Him. You know, really, what we must determine is what do we do about all the wickedness that we see around us. One thing that we can do is we can ignore it and think that it has no bearing on us. All we can do is that we can know that it points toward the end times and that we can be in preparation to be ready when that day comes. You know, the other day when Arlene and I got on the airplane to fly down to Florida, they said, you guys are sitting on an exit row. Is that okay? And I'm sure. So we got on the plane and we got in our seats, and because it was an exit row, man, we had all this leg room, and I'm like, this is awesome. And then the stewardess came up and she said, you guys are seated on an exit row. Is that okay? And I'm like, And she said, are you guys willing to help in the event of an emergency? And she said, I need you to verbally tell me that you're willing. And almost like, well, I didn't want to go that far, you know. I'm just enjoying the leg room. But I looked at her and I said, yes, I can do that. And she made every person, every person verbally say that they were willing and ready and able to help if called upon. Folks, I want you to know that God is looking in your heart and my heart today and said, are you willing? Are you willing to be modern day Noahs? To be an example of a life of righteousness, a life of faith that leads to obedience that ends in righteousness? And are we willing not to ignore everyone else that's out there, but to tell them that they are welcome to enter this boat of safety as it travels to our heavenly home? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful, wonderful story from your word. And may we know, Lord, that the story of Noah and the ark is not just a children's story, but it's a story for all times. Because, Lord, it was not only just a picture of what you did and why then, but it's also a picture of our present day and what will happen soon. So, Father, may we be modern-day Noahs, living by faith that leads to obedience, that ends in righteousness. Not righteousness of our own, but of accepting Jesus Christ and of His shed blood for us. And God, may we be present day Noahs. And we know, Lord, that in His day that He built and you gathered, but that now, Lord, it's been reversed and you build and you've called us to gather and to call all those, Lord, into obedience to you. May it be so, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.